The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on.
Now, if you suspected that Liz Truss was a bit flaky, well, you've had it confirmed by a retired British diplomat called, with a lovely name, Alexandra Hall Hall. She was a British ambassador to Georgia, and then she was the lead Brexit envoy for the UK government in Washington for a few years. And she reported that Liz Truss actually said that the whole Brexit thing would merely affect a few Irish farmers with turnips in the back of their trucks. That was her analysis of the impact of Brexit. So that tells you something about the woman who is threatening the EU. What will the EU do in response? What kind of action could the EU take? Well, for more on these escalating tensions, I'm joined by Suzanne Lynch, journalist with Politico Europe. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, isn't it wonderful that that leak from Alexandra Hall Hall, who finally resigned from the diplomatic service, saying she was being asked to peddle half-truths by the British government and could no longer do it, so she fell on her diplomatic sword and left, and I'm sure is all the happier for it. But what's the appetite for having a go at the UK in Europe?
Well, look, it's not very strong in that. There's a sense here, I think, that it was a mixture of frustration and disbelief, really, with the statement that came from London on Tuesday. I mean, it's important to say that the EU has not been thinking about Brexit. It's had a lot on its plate with Ukraine, etc., and that's been the focus. And, you know, as far as EU leaders are concerned, this has already been agreed. It's done. It took up a lot of time. And the Northern Ireland Protocol was agreed to try and, you know, resolve this conundrum that was created by Brexit for Northern Ireland. So I think the EU countries were happy to let the EU Commission officials, you know, negotiate quietly with Britain on the Northern Ireland Protocol, and things had kind of gone quiet until the elections in Northern Ireland were over. Now we're at that point, and we've had the statement from London on Tuesday. So I think it's back on the agenda now. Yesterday, Maros Sefcovic, the EU Commissioner with responsibility for Brexit, he briefed EU ambassadors for the first time in quite a while on the state of play. So there's a real sense now that it's coming back on the agenda. Micheál Martin was talking to the European Council President Charles Michel during the week. That would be quite unusual as well on the Brexit issue. Now, that could suggest that perhaps EU leaders might take it up at their next summit, though. I'm told, you know, that's definitely not on the agenda yet. But it is a sign that this is moving back up to the top of people's priorities.
Now, what about renegotiation, which is what Britain is looking for? That's not on the agenda, I presume.
No, I mean, I think to look at the positives, one diplomat here made the point that, you know, on Tuesday, the announcement that was made was a threat or a plan to introduce domestic legislation. Nothing has actually happened yet. But the moment that that legislation passes, well, then, as they put it, that's the nuclear bomb. That's when you'd get a retaliation from Brussels.
I mean, just to tease out what you said there, Suzanne, the idea, what Liz Truss was advancing, is that over the coming weeks, we will announce the detail of blah, blah, blah. They could have announced the detail yesterday and made it clear. So maybe they don't have the detail. Maybe this is just a bit more of the sabre rattling to try and get some movement from the EU. Some more movement, because the EU has already moved.
Exactly. That's it precisely. That, you know, is it a bluff or is it buying more time? So whatever the reasons, it does buy more time, and that does leave open the possibility that the two sides can get together around a table and try and hash out a deal before they get to the legislative beginnings of this process. And even if they were to introduce it, to table it formally, then it would take some months to get through anyway. So it still leaves. I mean, you're talking maybe even to the end of the year. So because of that, they're kind of holding their fire, if you like. And the expectation now that at official level, so effectively civil servants from London and from the European Commission who had been working on proposals will get back around the table. Now, the problem, however, and I think this is where alarm bells started ringing, was that not only did Liz Truss talk about the core issue, which is customs, that's the big issue for the unionist community, that there are too many checks on goods coming from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. And the expectation was, OK, that's a big issue and maybe we can continue trying to work on that. But she also mentioned other issues like the European Court of Justice and VAT. if Britain was to go down the route of perhaps changing any of those, well, then you were into a whole different kind of big renegotiation of the whole protocol. So I think there's a sense that if they could get agreement on the customs part, and if that was enough for the DUP, I think, well, then, you know, disaster could be averted and they would stop there. That would be the agreement and we wouldn't be talking about trade. But I suppose that.
I mean, we had the view from Northern Ireland Business yesterday, and the people who are exporting and importing and so on, and they said, "Yeah, it's troublesome, but the balance of advantage having access to the two markets, the single market and the British market, have more than outweighed by many multiples the extra cost that's involved in the extra checks."
Exactly. And I mean, the other part of this is that there was inevitably, you know, and Maro Sefcovic said this during the week, of course, it was never going to be the same. You know, Brexit has happened. So, of course, there's going to be extra checks and, you know, and then specific issues for Northern Ireland. So it's naive to think otherwise. And B, if that was the case, well, then why didn't Britain try and negotiate a different deal back during the Northern Ireland Protocol negotiations back in 2019? So the idea that they're all these problems are going to magically disappear is not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, this is what was called cakeism in the run-up to the implementation of Brexit, where the Brits wanted to have their cake and eat it. Well, it turns out the only crowd who have the cake and can eat it are the people of Northern Ireland, who have that cake and can eat it. The only thing is that there might be some delays in the cake arriving sometimes, or parts of the cake arriving because of customs checks.
Exactly. And of course, you know, the reality is this has been cast as an issue for businesses. But this is also an issue, obviously, for the DUP of identity, that they feel less connected with Great Britain. And that they feel it dilutes their identity in some way. So really, I think there's a feeling here that, yes, they are listening to the concerns of business, but really what's really behind this is actually more concerned with big identity questions here. But as we said there, this was always going to be the case of Brexit, and there were going to be implications. So yeah. I think a lot of this is going to be really how far the DUP are prepared to back whatever is agreed. There will be negotiations. I think it's safe to say that in the next few weeks. We don't know when they're going to resume, but I think there's going to be an effort by both sides to gather around the table and try and sort out these technicalities around customs. But the political challenge, I suppose, now for the Boris Johnson government is to make sure the DUP are on board for that, and that what they can give them will be enough to get the DUP back into power. So I think they're really holding really the cards and are going to determine how this plays out.
A couple of things. You talk about the identity and feeling that in some way their links with the essence of the United Kingdom would be weakened. You see, the problem for them is that in Britain, they're not regarded as British, because they're not British. They're Northern Irish. They are citizens of the United Kingdom, which is the United Kingdom of Britain and Northern Ireland. And the one thing that people in Northern Ireland are not, it's British. They're not. They are Northern Irish.
And the other point, you're right in that, in a sense, there's a feeling that, you know, the idea that this house somehow makes Northern Ireland different than Britain. Northern Ireland, as you say, is different than Britain. And actually, when the Good Friday Agreement was signed, it enshrined in many, many ways why people in Northern Ireland have different rights and et cetera to people in the rest of Britain. For example, they can hold an Irish passport, et cetera, all of those kind of things. So, you know, is this actually a bigger issue, a bigger realisation about, you know, 25 years on about the Good Friday Agreement? And there's a sense among people I speak to that a lot of politicians on the British side are only kind of waking up to this. But the idea that Brexit has somehow differentiated Northern Ireland from Britain, that was a process that was ongoing for some time.
The final thing is, Suzanne, what the EU could do if they decide this is going to become a serious row, a serious spat. What kind of retaliations are available to the EU, either quickly or in the long term?
Well, I think one route they may go down is infringement, you know, effectively suing London for backing away from agreements. And then, like with all trade actions, they're always incremental. We can see that, for example, with the Russian sanctions that are going on at the moment. You know, you don't start with everything. You start with you start with certain things. And that's the whole point of the sanctions are put in place.
I mean, for example, there's one thing they could do straight away. You know the way British people, travelling on a UK passport, can have 90 days visa-free access to the EU. If they stop that, imagine the mayhem that would cause.
Yeah, but I think that it's more going to be what's affected in trade, I think, in the trade and cooperation agreement, which was the deal, the separate deal, if you like, that governs trade between Britain and Europe. In saying that, one issue that still hasn't been resolved, which is a huge one for Britain, is British access to the Horizon Europe programme. That's the big multi-billion research programme that has seen collaboration between some of the big universities in Britain and the EU. That issue still hasn't been resolved for British academics and British universities. And that is, I think, leverage, you could say, that the EU has. And after that, they're going to be going around to countries saying, look, what are you prepared to sanction? The whole point, again, of sanctions is that you hurt the other person more than you're hurt yourself. So yeah. I think that's when that discussion, and it was a very early days, but yesterday in that meeting between Šefčovič and the ambassadors, he was trying to get a feeling for what different countries thought. And they ultimately said, yeah, we are prepared to go down the trade route, ultimately. But then it would be a question of going to each country and say, look, how are you affected if we do X? And then through that process, they would come up with a suite of measures that would affect Britain and be more detrimental to the UK side than to exporters in Europe.
Looking at a piece that says Article 506, paragraph 2 would allow the EU to suspend in whole or in part access to its waters, and they'd only have to give a week's notice.
Well, the fishing issue as well is very, very tense, because the French and Britain have their own kind of bilateral issue around access to the waters near Guernsey and Jersey and in the English Channel. So that has still not been, there's been a lot of tensions over that. Technically, when I say it's bilateral, it's actually a European issue, but basically it's French fishermen that it applies to most. So that would be very powerful. It would be very emotive as well, because that was, you know, the fishing industry and getting British access to British waters was one of the big issues during the Brexit campaign. But I suppose we do have to stress we're certainly not at that stage yet. We're talking months and months away from any discussion of this. Yeah. I think what's going to happen is they're going to get around the table, see can they do enough to get the DUP and get the British government on board. But trust has completely broken down at this stage. So that's also going to be weighing people's minds as they start to look at this issue once again.
Who do a deal with them? You know, you have to count your fingers when you shake hands with them. That's the issue. Suzanne Lynch, journalist with Politico Europe, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.